Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Living Fellowship. I'm going to get right into the lesson this morning. I want to start off and get you in your Bibles to Matthew, the 11th chapter. This is going to be really different than anything you've ever done before, more than likely. The people at the tables are going to have a little bit of a benefit over the people that are not. I need two volunteers to help me with something real quick. I got Madison and Bryce. If you would hand a bulletin out to every single person, Madison on your side, Bryce on your side, and if you need a pen, Dathan's got one, grab a pen also. Again, we're going to do a little exercise. Now, this bulletin, is there still a page on the back that's blank? Yes. That's why you're getting this bulletin, not only for the great information that's involved in there, but also for a place to write. I'm going to ask you a question here in a minute. I'll wait till, it's hard to pay attention when we're handing things out. But for those of you online, if you want to grab a piece of paper, you're not going to have to write a whole lot, I wouldn't think. You may. I have one. Thank you. But if you want to participate with this, which I encourage you to do so, everybody online, I'm going to ask you a question. And if you would write down your answer now, and then I'm going to teach a little bit. And then see if your question is still the same at the end, or if you have a second question, and if or you would have changed your first question to just a second question. Huh?
Answer? Are we writing an answer to your question?
Uh-huh. I'm going to ask the question. You're going to write the answer. At the end, we're going to see after I taught a little bit if your answer will change or it will be the same as you answered in the beginning. That fair enough? We got all the instruction down? Going to exercise your imagination this morning a little bit. How many of you read your Bible regularly? After I taught last week, and if you basically, I've talked about this many times, but I talked about the difference between being a teller, or let's just say a Pharisee and a disciple. Somebody that's a guide, and this is really good, I like the way this put, because Jesus said it this way. Somebody that has heard from God and is a guide, or somebody that has not heard from God and is not a guide, but they think they are. Have you ever noticed in the scriptures that the Pharisees, and this is rich, so listen closely to this. The Pharisees would come to Jesus and say, Moses said in our law says this, our law says that, Abraham said, notice this real quick, I want to bring to your awareness, the Pharisees' religion was based on the Word of God, it still is today, Jews, Israel, but it's all based on what a man has said, you with me? Whether it was a prophet, whether it was Moses, whether it was Abraham, a man said. None of them could say like Jesus, my Father in heaven said. Are you with me? So they're basing everything they got, and you got to take this with a grain of salt, on a third party conversation. Jesus did not do that. He heard directly from his Father, which is in heaven, and as John testified, he did that which he had seen and heard of his Father. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest problems that religion, Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, even chief priests had with Jesus was you being a man maketh yourself God because he proclaimed who he was. He was the Son of God, incarnate, manifest. Jesus, what he heard in heaven and he taught them heavenly things. They could not do that. Are you with me? But at one point, his disciples came to him and said, know ye not the Pharisees were offended at your sayings? Well, no, what is Jesus' sayings? Because he just taught them a parable about it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out of his mouth. Jesus said, these are blind leaders of the blind. So the Pharisees thought they could guide with the Word of God. This is your teller in unrighteousness, as I term it. But in reality, wasn't Jesus a teller? Didn't he tell everything he saw and heard of his Father? but it was done in righteousness. Now, here's where a great deception takes place to us. We watch what Jesus did, and as I read last week, Christ is our example. We watch what Jesus did, and we say, I'm going to follow that example. So how Jesus taught, how he told of the Word of God, I'm going to do. But if you haven't heard from heaven like Jesus, if you didn't hear it from your Father, and let's say Ralph tries to teach something that I just taught and he didn't hear it from heaven, what do we have right here? A Pharisee, a blind leader of the blind. And I know I can do that with you, Ralph. You're okay. Because in reality, Ralph is not a Pharisee. As a matter of fact, God's revealing the Pharisee in both Ralph and I, and not labeling us that. He's teaching us how to be sons of God. Amen? But do you see how that could be deceptive? Because you look at the Bible and you say, well, this is how Jesus did it. He spoke the Word of God to them. Yeah, but where did Jesus get the Word of God? From heaven, from his Father. The Pharisees spoke the Word of God, but where did they get it from? So last week I taught about the difference between a teller and an asker, that the teller is always trying to tell you things they think. Now here's another good way of you seeing this. Did you ever watch Jesus begin to teach his disciples and they commandeer the conversation and try to lead him in what they thought he was saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's say I experience something in heaven, and my brother Keith hears what I'm saying, and he thinks in his mind, that correlates with some scriptures. Now, I'm going to take my brother aside, and I'm going to tell him how this fits with that, and that fits with this. He's commandeered the conversation. He's become the guide. He hasn't heard from heaven. I did, but he took everything over. This is where it becomes a thief. Are you with me? It's very deceptive because Keith would be using the Word of God to do it. And to be honest with you, I would let him do it. I wouldn't correct him because God is the one that's going to reprove you. God's going to correct you. What I'm going to do is teach and speak what I've heard and hope that the preached word, when you hear it, corrects you. So we have a teller, which is what? A thief and a taker, a Pharisee. Then you have the asker. Now, when I say asker, what do you mean by asker? One that knows how to pray. We covered this last week. I'm going straight off of what we did last week. One that knows how to ask correctly. And you can go back and listen to last week's. We talked about the correct prayer and the prayer that's prayed amiss and all those things. I did something super interesting this last week. And before I say anything else, I better ask you the question, right? How many of you are ready to exercise your imagination? Now, I want to say it this way. This is between you and God. You do not have to disclose anything you write on this paper. If you're sitting close back here like the Rojas family, they're going to try to read each other. So, Brianna, you hide. Did I say that right, Rojas? Hey. But it's between you and God. Now, if you want to, I would probably encourage the deacons to be the example for us today. If you're going to get up, they'll have them come and share. But again, this is between you and the Lord. This is to reveal things in you that possibly are hindering you and give you new tools to go farther in the grace of God and your relationship with God. Is that okay? That's the whole intent here today. So in your imagination, I need you to imagine that Jesus Christ is standing before you right now. Now, in the law, a priest entered his ministry at 30 years old. So Jesus is standing right here in front of you, kind of like I am. 30 years old, just getting ready to enter his ministry. What would you say to him? That's the question. Let me lead you a little bit more. Would you ask him? Would you testify to him? Would you tell him? Now, I'm going to stop there because I don't want to lead you too far in it. The question is, what would you say to Jesus if he was standing here right now? Hold that. That's yours. I'm going to do a little bit more teaching and speaking to you. Some of you are already writing. That's good. You already know. Now, honestly, this exercise is for you and God. If you're not honest, All this exercise is going to do is show you that you're not honest. I encourage you to be honest, because it's not going to help you if you're not honest. Remember in the parable of the sower? There was only one ground that brought forth fruit. It was he that in a good heart, with patience, an honest heart, he heard, he understood, and brought forth fruit with patience. With honesty, I can't, express enough to be honest here. It's just between you and God, folks. If you find yourself at the end writing things you think people want to hear, we just exposed the Pharisee because they did the things they did to be seen of men. Are you with me? You're still in Matthew 11, correct? Now, I did something interesting because, you know, the Lord had directed me recently to spend a lot of time in the book of John. And even by the Spirit, John began to speak to me some great things. And I spent a lot of time in there and expounded things with you guys and shared them with you. The pastor in Chicago, Pastor Daniel, and I had great conversations about it. He was very excited for what he heard, and we fellowshipped it greatly. So I thought, you know what? It's been a while. Let me read the book of Matthew. Now, Matthew and Luke start at the birth of Jesus. John and Mark begin at his baptism, at when he's 30 years old. He's being led of the Spirit into the wilderness. Actually, Luke 4 and Matthew 4 tell of Jesus' baptism, of him being led in the Spirit. But my point being is, Matthew begins in verse 18, it says, "And the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." And I'm paraphrasing, but when his mother came together, and before she had had child, you guys know the chapter. As a matter of fact, let me read the first, well, in the beginning of Matthew 1, there's a little bit of genealogy laid out there, coming up to the birth of Jesus through Joseph and Mary. But in Matthew 11, I want you to notice this. Look closely. Verse 1. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities." Real quick. "And it came to pass, when Jesus made an end of commanding." That's very important, because I want to tell you why. Remember, I talked to you about prayer and asking the right thing. Do you realize when you go back and read this, and I may have missed one, so if you're trying to catch me in my speech, you might, but I don't think so. Jesus' disciples did not ask him one single question until the 13th chapter. Are you with me here? They did not ask him one single question, Daryl, for 13 chapters. Now, in all fairness, we're getting ready to read that John the Baptist's disciples, which ended up being Jesus' disciples, did go and ask him. Right here, we're going to read it. "Are you the one, or should we look for another?" There were others that came to Jesus, Daryl, and they said, "Could you help my son? Would you heal my daughter?" You know, those questions, but I'm specifically talking about a disciple because we're talking about the difference between a Pharisee and a disciple, a true guide, and a blind leader of the blind. You with me? Do you know what was the very first question that the disciples asked Jesus in this book, in this testimony of Matthew? Does anybody know? Nathan knows the Bible pretty good. Pretty much everybody in this room that's been here very long knows the Bible pretty good. Nathan, do you know what it is?
What authority do you speak on?
Okay, that's close. Jim, what did you say? In Matthew 13, they wanted to know, and to Dathan's defense, at one place, I think it's the end of the chapter, in 13, it goes into, he went to his own folks, his kinfolk, and they wouldn't believe him. There was unbelief because they thought they knew him after the flesh. We know his mother. We know his brother. Isn't this Jesus, the son of the carpenter, and those things? And it said he didn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. and also said, a prophet hath no honor in his own country. But Jim, you're right. The first question they wanted to know, Lord, why speakest thou unto them in parables? So they wanted to know about his sayings. And previously, in Matthew 7, Jesus had spoke a parable. And he said, not everyone that comes to me and says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God or shall be saved. And he went on to say, use that parable to teach them what a wise man was. What is a wise man? He that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them. You guys remember the parable? When Jesus said, some will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done many mighty works in thy name? And Jesus says to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Well, wait a minute. How? That used to dumbfound me. And I took it to my pastor in Farmersville at Cameron Creek, and I said, how could they confess him to be Lord and do these mighty works, prophesy, cast out devils, do these mighty works, and then be cast out from Jesus and be workers of iniquity? And he told me, I loved his honesty, he said, that's something really to think about right there. I've never really looked all the way into that, but I'm going to think about that. But Jesus was teaching them a parable to show them a wise man. The wise man hears the sayings, he hears the parables, and does them. Now, he'd already said that to them in 7. He's teaching all these parables. So what's their first question? Why? Why are you teaching like this? Because if you remember Matthew 11, listen to this again. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples. So for 11 chapters, Keith, he's commanding them. A true disciple listens intensely to the commandment that's being taught in parables before he goes off in some tangent asking all these. In other words, they're listening exactly what Jesus said, and that's where their questions form. Are you listening to the preaching of the anointed word of God, and that's what's forming your question, or is it coming from somewhere else? Is there a blind leader putting a thought in your mind and causing you to go astray? Ralph asked me a question the last time I talked to him. He said, I need to know this about God, how he thinks about this. I said, well, what's the question, Ralph? What does he think about yada, yada, and yada? I said, don't follow that. It's trying to lead you astray from Jesus. It's not even something you need to hear or know right now. He said, okay, done deal. That was pretty nice, pretty easy. Because it would have left him astray. And it was kind of concerning politics, right? So we just didn't touch it. We're not even going there. That's not where God's leading you right now. And he stayed with Jesus. Perfect. So when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, notice this. He commands them. He departs. He departed thence to teach and to preach. Where at? In their cities. Is Jesus preaching in their world now? Is he preaching in their cities? And he's already commanded them, give them commandments. They don't even have questions yet. They're listening to the teachings. They're listening to the commandments. They're listening to the parables. And then in the 13th chapter, things start to open up. I'll show you what I mean by that. Let me see if I want to read any farther. Yeah, I'll show you what I said was true. Verse 2. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, here's their question to Jesus, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? That's what John the Baptist's disciples were sent to ask Jesus. Watch this answer. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. You hear that? Here's the answer to your question. Go show John the things which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. He said, if you don't believe me, for my word's sake, believe me for my works. And he said that in another place also. He's telling them, you be the judge if I'm he or not. Look at the works. Are devils being cast out? Is the gospel being preached? Are people lame walking? Are the eyes being opened, the deaf ears? You go and tell John for yourself. Now go with me to Matthew 13, if you would. The next chapter in Matthew 12 is where the Pharisees, see, the Pharisees did come to Jesus and ask some questions, even before the disciples. So could it be possible at time that Pharisee wants to jump up and ask a question in front of a true disciple? Are you looking at it like I've shared with you that Jesus was a leader? He was a guide. He heard from heaven. But you know, even being a leader and a guide, Bryce, he was also an example. Where was it we talked about last week where he washed their feet, didn't he? And he said, I give you this for an example. And said, isn't it enough that the disciple is like his master? You don't have to be greater than your master. None of us have to be greater than anybody here. If Jesus makes us equal to him, Madison, that's enough. Me being Lord, I'm washing your feet as an example to all. But they wanted to know, why do your disciples break the commandments or our traditions? Jesus answers them and shows them, basically, you're coming to me to accuse me about my disciples, but you're hypocrites. Because their question was, why do your disciples break the Sabbath? Why are they plucking corn on the Sabbath day? Well, which of you, if one of your sheep fell in a ditch, wouldn't go get it out, you hypocrites? He let them know. Hey, being around Jesus is a tough deal at times, Daryl, if you're a Pharisee. Does he tell you stuff like, you're of your father the devil? He'd tell you, you're whited sepulchers. On the inside, you're white. On the inside, outside, you're white. You make white the outside, but the inside's full of dead men's bones. You're vipers. I mean, he really put it on them, didn't he? But what did he do with his disciples? He let them watch every bit of that for an example. So at the end of the chapter 12, they're accusing Jesus of casting out devils by Beelzebub, and with the wisdom he had, he lets them know that a kingdom divided cannot stand. And if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, then how do your children do it? He let them know, this is the only right way. Your children do not cast out devils, but if I do, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. He's still teaching his disciples, even using the Pharisees. Now, Matthew 13, watch this. In verse 1, he goes out, and now he begins to speak a parable to them, and a very familiar parable. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, if you don't know this parable, how will you know all parables? In the 34th verse of this chapter, it says, Jesus spake unto them in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. Another verse tells us that Jesus' doctrine, what is it? Is parables. That he taught them many things in parables and said unto them in his doctrine. So again, he's teaching. He's a master. He's not just preaching. As a matter of fact, he used his disciples. He sent them out to preach, Daryl. Preach what? Repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm going to do some teaching. You're going to do some preaching. And we're going to see how many people have an ear to hear and come to my kingdom. Do you deacons understand why we say you should be preaching right now? Exhorting the people? It's right here. Verse 9, after Jesus finishes the parable of the sower, he says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 10, first question. Not first question from anybody. First question from the true disciples. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Isn't that interesting? Lord, why are you speaking to them? You ever do that? Oh, that word was for him. That word was for her. Why speak to them like that, Lord? I know you're not speaking to us like this. At one point, the disciples went to Jesus and they said, Lord, speak no more in parables, but speak plain. And he told them, the day will come when I no longer speak to you in parables. I'm going to speak to you plainly. Notice this also. The beginning of the disciple with their questions towards the end of this chapter, you know what Jesus says to him? He speaks numerous parables. I didn't count them. 6, 7 different parables. The second one after this was a parable of the wheat and the tares. It was one of a widow who hid leaven in 3 measures of meal and hid a coin. He speaks these parables and then asks them, do you understand all these things? You know what the disciples said to him? Now remember, this is the same chapter with the first question. Yay, Lord. Do you think they really understood? But notice the pattern right here. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Now Jesus answers this question. He answered and said unto them, notice they're making it about them. Why are you speaking unto them? Look what Jesus says, because it is given to you. I'm speaking to you right now. I'm not speaking to the multitude. I'm not speaking to the Pharisees. I'm speaking to you as my disciples. I'm going to answer your question right now, Carrie. They asked the right question. It's concerning the kingdom of heaven. It's concerning his doctrine. It's concerning what Jesus is speaking right now at this time. He answered and said to them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. And then he keeps on with his answers. It's a fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah. If you read through this, verse 15, but look what he says in verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Then he says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. So they wanted to know, why did you speak that way, Ali? Why are you speaking in a parable? It really was a mystery to him, wasn't it? That prayer caused Jesus to interpret his doctrine. Notice next, he's interpreting the parable of the sower to them. You know what's interesting about this? At the end of him interpreting, he speaks another parable of the wheat and the tares, where there's 2 sowers, the Son of Man, and the devil or the wicked one sowed. Correct? You know what the next question that the disciples, in order, the next question that the disciples asked him? Watch this. There's 2 parables there. 3. Look at verse 36. This is our second question. Then Jesus sent the multitude, after speaking many parables, Bryce, or commanding them in his doctrine. He's teaching them his doctrine, and he's giving them commandments concerning the kingdom of heaven. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parables of the tares of the field. Did they think they understood the first one that he brought? Yeah, they did. They thought they understood it. So, Daryl, they thought they'd use the same formula. We got you to interpret the parable of the sower. Now let's ask the right question again. Will you interpret the parable of the wheat and the tares? Does he do it? Come on, you guys know Matthew 13. Tristan, you're right. Yes, he does. And then notice this. Jesus realized they didn't really understand, and he keeps speaking parables, keeps speaking. He interprets all this. Verse 51. Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Nathan, do you think they really understood everything? No, but they were on track to learning how to ask correctly, weren't they? 13 chapters, and they ask him, why speak in parables? Your sayings, what's going on with your sayings? Oh, here's the interpretation. Okay, well, how about that next one? Or for you and I, what about that next word you're talking to me about, Lord? Will you interpret that also? Also, yeah, sure. But now that I perceive you're not understanding, I'm just going to speak a lot of parables to you. Anybody ever relate to that? Coming to church? Maybe you don't understand everything every week. Is it possible that you could pray and ask Jesus to declare unto you these mysteries, these parables, and bring an understanding to you? And then even though you think you got it, be patient enough to wait and really come to the understanding of it? That brings us to the latter part of this meeting. On your piece of paper, you have the opportunity to give a second answer Or is your first one good enough? Or did after the teaching, did you change your first answer to a second one? Dathan, you're not going to, she's got you. She's watching everything you're doing. I said it was between you and God. I think Madison's God here today for you. She's trying to be. Trying to help you out there, brother. Are you with me? Everybody have both questions answered or just one? Is there anybody that needs more time? If it changed after the teaching? Yeah, Carrie questioned me on that. I should say a second answer. That's how I should say that. It's the same question, but did your answer change after you were taught what you were taught right here? You with me? Okay, which one of our deacons would like to come up and answer? Come on, you, Bryce, come on up. You know how I look at you. Come on up here.
I'm not the sound guy anymore, so I don't know these things. Actually, what's funny is I recently saw Jesus, and I came to him and I asked him, what do you want me to learn here? And he told me, be content and walk with me. And when I first came out of that, I didn't perceive my question as a Pharisee. But today he revealed to me that when I came to him and that it was actually as a Pharisee. So my answer, my second answer, because it's funny because the first answer I put was, what would you like me to do? Essentially the same thing, but then when you were talking, it was revealed that exactly what he told me, be content and walk with him.
I appreciate your honesty. That's good. Thank you. Tim? Before Tim speaks, let me say something to you. One of the reasons I'm sharing this with you today, because years ago, I was in the Spirit, and I saw the Lord, and we're walking together on this road. And Aunt Diane, he's my father, and I'm a little child. And I reach over, and I grab his hand, and I said, Lord, I love you. And he said, I know you love me, but we must walk for now. And I got an understanding from that, and I'm sharing that with you today. Tim?
So I wrote, remember me. That's what I would tell the Lord. And I didn't change it. It was the same. But remember me.
That's good. Bryce, this is good. They're both, even with the second thing you said, was what Paul said, right? Okay, who do we got next? Jim? You ain't getting out of this. Come on, get up here. Everybody wants to see your pretty face. Come on. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Who's next? Julie didn't get to hear it, huh? She's not going to be able to answer it. Christy, Dawn? Yeah. She did get that baby to sleep for us, so didn't she? Or was that Allie?
So you asked me this the other day.
Oh, that's right. You can't answer. You are in our fellowship. With Dan and I. Go sit down. Because you already tried this the other day and you were, how do I say this? The truth evaded you a little bit. Go ahead, honey. But if you give away the answer, I'm getting ready to give you. Don't do that. Do you see what you have the knowledge of it, how hard it is not to use the knowledge to answer the thing?
But I did answer
it. Yeah, but that day you wouldn't have answered it that way.
What did you answer me? No, I didn't
answer it. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, do we get all the deacons first? Jen Gowett, is she online? What's her answer? She just hurt her neck and her back. She didn't have a wisdom tooth pulled. She should be able to talk. All right, then, Tristan. Somebody take Tristan that microphone. She could call you and tell you, Tim.
Yeah, I don't want to give you my answers because I'm...
You don't want to give me your answers?
No, I want to give you my answers because I'm... My thoughts have totally confused me.
Should I ask Carrie what you're trying to say here? Go ahead, buddy.
Was, will you heal me? And then I got thinking, that's kind of a dumb question. You know, it needs to be more, can you teach me to let you heal me? Because he wants to. I changed my answer to teach me to hear the cedar parables.
Now listen, I'll say this right now. There's no dumb question if you learn from it. If you don't learn from it and you do repeat the same thing, then you might consider that a bad or dumb question. Now, the rest of you are on your own. You can share with me if you want to. If you really, really think the Lord's in it, then I'll give you the microphone right now. Let's do it that way to be fair. Did we get that last deacon's answer? Okay, we'll do that later for her. How about this? Because like I said, I don't think there's any wrong answer here. But let me exhort you real quickly, okay? How about if Jesus Christ stood here right before you and you've been looking for him your whole life, like the disciples, they were looking for the Messiah. And he came to you right now, right as he's entering his ministry, and he said two words, follow me. The best thing you could say is nothing whatsoever. It was 13 chapters before they asked a question. It was 13 chapters before they said anything. It was after he had made an end of commanding them. So what was the best thing? James said, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And there's so many good things. You say, Lord, I love you. I know I did that. Lord, I'm so thankful. Sounds great, huh? But he hasn't said anything to you yet. So if he hasn't said anything to you yet, could it possibly be the thing that you're saying, you're trying to lead yourself in the conversation? It's real good. There's nothing to do, bro. The disciples took 13 chapters before they asked a single question. He taught them so many things. He commanded them. So listen for the commandment of the Lord and look to do what God is saying for you to do. And then if you need help or you don't understand everything, ask and it shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be open. That more than likely will be the next thing we talk about in prayer, is that portion of scripture right there. Any questions before we go? Good enough. I think what has been spoken here needed to be spoken, and I think we're pretty good, unless there's any questions or thoughts. How many of you got provoked today? It's very important to be provoked. If you're not provoked, you're not going to grow. So look to be provoked and even provoke yourselves.